Alma chapter 47. In this chapter, we learn about what happened to Amalickiah and the people who followed him. And what they did was they went up amongst the Lamanites and began to stir them up. So we see that it was pretty obvious to Moroni that's what he would do, what they were going to do. But again, as we stressed, it's people should be allowed to descend or leave and go in wherever they want. We really don't have the right to put anyone into captivity. Then, again, in this chapter, we learn about the tremendous treachery of Amalickiah. Now, we have to remember that Amalickiah could flatter the people, and he talked to them, and they began to think that he was a good man. And so we have to understand and keep in our minds that these leaders were not these leaders who gained great power amongst the Lamanites could make themselves out to be great and wonderful men. And we have to keep that and realize that we can be swayed by men into thinking they're great and wonderful also, when in fact their desires are for their own power and glory. In fact, I'm sure that Amalickiah liked to flatter himself and puff himself up with pride and say, "Oh, and I'm doing this for the people, and I will I will make this a wonderful kingdom where I'll be in charge, and there'll be no wars, and there'll be peace." And he liked to flatter himself into believing all that. And so anyway, when he goes up amongst the kings, amongst the Lamanites, he talk the king into going to war against the Nephites. And when the king says, "Okay, let's all go to war," then the people won't respond because they're afraid of the Nephites. And so a lot of them, the greater number of them, will not come and follow the king. And that's because, so again, we see that the people really knew the Lord, and they knew that the Nephites had the power of God, or had a God protecting them. They believed that, and so no matter what, even in their wickedness, they were sinning to some degree in the face of God. Not near to the degree that the Nephites, having had all the records and studies, were sinning, but did sin later on, and not near as bad as we're talking about the dissenters who joined the Lamanites, because they were sinning in a much greater knowledge. Well, Amalickiah then gets command of part of the king's army, and he takes that to then go and try and force the people to put their arms on and get ready to go to battle. And so he goes and goes to have battle against all these others, who is led by a man named Lahontai. And when he gets there, he doesn't want to fight them. What he wants to do is continuous trick for him to gain more and more power. That's all he wanted was power. He didn't care if it was power amongst the Nephites or power amongst the Lamanites. He just wanted to control men. So he goes up and makes a deal with Lahontai that he'll turn his forces over to Lahontai, and Lahontai will then be in charge of everything as long as he can be a second leader, or be second in charge. Well, as soon as that agreement's made, then he has Lahontai poisoned. And if by degrees, so it takes days, and it tortures the poor man to death, and so that then it doesn't look like it's really that he's really being poisoned. Well, the important thing here to note is the tremendous treachery of Amalickiah. All the time, he's speaking flattering words to everyone, obviously preparing them for himself to become the next leader of the army. And as soon as Lahontai is dead, sure enough, he's made head of the armies, so he takes the armies back. The king's all happy and thrilled. See, now you see the flattering here. The king's all thrilled to see the army coming back, so he's running out there to meet him and say, "Good job, Amalickiah," because that's how Amalickiah has flattered him, so that his guard's down, and one of Amalickiah's servants runs up there and stabs the king to death. And so then the servants of the king run because they think they're about to be stabbed and killed also. Well, the important thing here as we study this is we begin to see some of the flatterings and the tricks of these wicked men and what they'll say. And they notice as soon as he's had the king dead, but he jumps right up and he says, "All right, all whosoever loved the king, let him go forth and run down these servants." You know, but he uses "whosoever loved the king." He didn't love the king, but see, he can make it sound that way. And it's always sound, 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 and always words. There's never any calm spirit. You notice he wants to have this big rush and get everybody excited Because when you're excited, you're not thinking clearly. You're just going. That's never the way of the Lord. The Lord always says, calm down, take it easy. I can take care of everything for a few moments while you collect your thoughts, and let's calmly and rationally decide this. No, but the way of these people, which were the way of the devil, is get you so excited that any word, you want to grab on to any word to get you more excited, and you're driven by words then instead of being driven by the Spirit. So that's the way he worked. And then by doing this, and then yelling during that time and talking to them in their frenzy and all, it says in 30, he gained the hearts of the people. See, people, I like that, man. They thought he was a really good guy. They wanted to believe that. See, people want to believe these emotional things. And so that's what he does. Because, again, the Spirit talks through emotion. So how does the devil trick that? He gets you all emotional first, then he gives you the words. See, but the Spirit talk gives you the word that talk to your emotions, and the devil just flips them backwards, and that's how he can trick people into believing his lies. Then he goes in and he takes over the city, and he goes to see the king's wife. And then what does he say to them? He says, well, the servants killed the king. And he says, they have fled. Does this not testify against them? Notice how that's the devil's greatest things. Well, okay, we're going to come in and search your house, and well, if you don't have anything to hide, why would you care if we search? See, they get you to give up your right to privacy. All the rights you're given in the Constitution, the devil always likes to use that same line. Well, if you're not guilty, then why should you care? See, it's always the stuff that you don't have any rights, and if you're a good person, then obviously you shouldn't care to have any rights. And that's the great thing that we learn right there about a quick sign of evilness is what is it saying, by the way? Those that haven't figured that out, it's you're guilty until you prove you're innocent. And so therefore if you're innocent, you don't mind being treated like as if you're guilty. And we get into all these feelings like that. Well, anyway, so we've learned something about how evil works. Then the other thing that it just finishes off in this chapter with is to say that these were dissenters, and how interesting that really the Lamanites were really becoming dissenters. Mostly they were made up of dissenters, and it says that, notice, the dissenters became the real evil people. We've already mentioned that. Or they become the evil amongst the Lamanites. And they take it over, and they're the ones who become, not only do they just become, notice that they descended because of religion. They claimed to believe in God, and they claimed that they just wanted to worship the way they wanted. But notice that they immediately begin to forget their God, as it says in the last verse there. They entirely forget him, and they go off and show that they're really only after all the rotten and stinking things of the world.